भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्ठिकी। भागवतम 3rd कैंटो चैप्टर 28 कपिलस इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑन द एग्जीक्यूशन ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट 1। भगवान उवाच योगस्य लक्षणं पक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। श्री भगवान उवाच योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति सत्पथम्। योगस्य लक्षणं वक्षे सबीजस्य नृपात्मजे मनो येनैव विधिना प्रसन्नं जाति। How many of you memorize this by now? The first word of the first line, by now. What is the first word of the third line? Okay, go ahead. I said, yes. Once you remember the first word, you will see the next one, the rest of the line is coming. Yogasya Lakshanam. Then, Savijasya. The first word is Savijasya. And the rest of the thing, the rest of the line is Savijasya. Guru, what's the third line? Manojenai Guru. If we make a little endeavor, we can very easily memorize the verse by the time we, as we read verse 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the personality of God has said, Yogasya, of the yoga system, Lakshanam, description, Bhakshe, I shall explain. Savijasya, authorized. Nripa Atmaje, O daughter of the king. Manaha, the mind. Jena, by which. Eva, certainly. Bidhina, by practice. Prashannam, joyful. Jati, attained. Shatpatham, the path of the absolute truth. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The personality of God has said, My dear mother, O daughter of the king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the absolute truth. Repeat after me. The personality of God has said, My dear mother, O daughter of the king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the absolute truth, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yoga process explained by Lord Kapildev in this chapter is authorized and standard, and therefore these instructions should be followed very carefully. To begin, the Lord says that by yoga practice, one can make progress towards understanding the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous chapter, it has been clearly stated that the desired result of yoga is not to achieve some wonderful mystic power. One should not be at all attracted by such mystic power, but should attain progressive realization on the path of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, which states in the last verse of the sixth chapter that the greatest yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself, or he who is Krishna conscious. It is stated here that by following the system of yoga, one can become joyful. Lord Kapila, the personality of Godhead, who is the highest authority on yoga, here explains the yoga system known as Ashtanga Yoga, which comprises 8 different practices, namely jam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahar, dharan, dhyan, and samadhi. By all these stages of practice, one must realize Lord Vishnu, who is the target of all yoga. There are so-called yoga practices in which one concentrates the mind on voidness or on the impersonal, but this is not approved by the authorized yoga system as explained by Kapildev. Even Patanjali explains that the target of all yoga is Vishnu. Ashtanga yoga is therefore part of Vaishnava practice because its ultimate goal is realization of Vishnu. The achievement of success in yoga is not acquisition of mystic power, which is condemned in the previous chapter, but rather freedom from all material designations and situations in one's constitutional position. That is the ultimate achievement in yoga practice. The personality of Godhead said, "My dear mother, O daughter of the king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing the system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the Absolute." Yoga, the word literally means to become connected to the Supreme Personality of God. Now here, Kapildev is explaining the Ashtanga Yoga process and the goal of that Ashtanga Yoga. The Ashtanga Yoga has 8 different processes or 8 different practices, and they ultimately lead one to understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming free from material attachment. Actually, every living entity is a spiritual being. And every living entity has his spiritual perception. But unfortunately, that spiritual perception has become covered due to one material attachment. Due to one material bondage. As soon as one wants to enjoy himself without Krishna, then he becomes covered by the material senses. First covering is the covering of false ego, then intelligence and mind, and then the covering of the gross body. So it is due to his material covering that a living entity cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of God. To free one from the material bondage, various processes have been prescribed. And Ashtanga Yoga is one of them. And this Ashtanga Yoga gradually frees one from his material contamination. First, he becomes free externally. He becomes purified of his material contamination externally through the process of Yama, then internally through the process of Niyama. Yama is an external purification, which doesn't mean only to take bath and wear clean clothes, but this Yama also involves what one eats. Because what we eat, that food actually transforms into the body cells. And the food that we eat affects our consciousness. So all these gross aspects or external aspects are taken care of in the Yama process of purification. Then the Niyama. Niyama is the internal purification. The purification of one's mind. Purification of one's intelligence. Through becoming actually Krishna conscious. We can see that, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that this Ashtanga Yoga is actually a Vaishnava. Because ultimate consideration of Yama is to keep oneself clean by taking bath regularly, wearing clean clothes, maintaining clean habits, and eating clean food. And as devotees, we do that. We keep ourselves clean by taking bath every day, changing our clothes regularly, and being Krishna Prashad. Then the internal purification is by practicing truthfulness, being compassionate, being tolerant, being merciful. So these are the activities that purify ourselves internally. The body becomes purified, when the mind becomes purified, then one actually becomes eligible to practice the yoga process. And the first aspect of yoga process is asana. mean the practice, the practicing begins with the asana. And asana means using the body in such a way that one can use it as a vehicle to reach his goal. Body has been compared to a machine. Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. The living entity is riding in a machine that is given to him, awarded to him by Maya, material nature. Now, this human body has a very specific destination. The destination is to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or this Jantra, this machine can be used to reach that goal. Only human body it can be used in attaining one's spiritual destination. The other bodies cannot, even the bodies of demigods, cannot really achieve that goal. Although the bodies of demigods and the bodies in higher planetary systems are very, very much more advanced or endowed with greater abilities. But when it comes to going to the spirit, going back to the spiritual sky, the human body is the body. No other body actually can help one to reach that ultimate destination. Other bodies, one can go to higher planetary systems and become situated in a higher plane of consciousness. But to become pure devotees of Krishna, one needs the human body. Therefore we see in the beginning of Krishna book, when Brahma along with the demigods went to Vishnu in Shvetadvip, then Kshiradakshaya Vishnu assured him that he is going to descend. And he told him that he should instruct the demigods to take birth in Jadu and Vrishni family. This is an indication that one needs to have a human body to go back to the spiritual. Even the demigods have to come down and take a human body. And thus, one can become free from material bondage if the human body is properly utilized. What to speak of demigods taking up human bodies for the ultimate perfection of the spiritual life. Even the residents of Dwarka, if he wants to go to Vrindavan, if a resident of Dwarka or Vaikuntha wants to be elevated to Vrindavan, he must take birth as a human being. And then only he can go back to Vrindavan. Even from Dwarka, one cannot go back. One has to go via earthly Vrindavan, get a body in Vrindavan on this earth planet, and then become eligible. This human body is a very, very special gift of nature. And a yogi learns to use this human body to reach his ultimate destination, the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality. Then he learns to practice the pranayama. While using the gross body, he also uses the subtle air of the body. There are five types of airs in the body, known as pran, apan, shaman, dhyan, and udan. So one learns to control these airs, which controls different activities of this body. All the different functions of the body go on through these five types of air. Like life air or where the spirit soul is suspended is the air called prana. Then the evacuation system is controlled by air called apana. One evacuates through this, through the help of this air, apana vayu. Then samana vayu maintains the equilibrium of the body. Dhyana controls our nervous system, and udana vayu controls the movement of different limbs. So in this way we can see that the whole body, although we think that we are actually controlling this body, but ultimately these five airs are actually controlling the body, all the activities of the body. Actually we don't even have the ability to evacuate. For that we have to depend upon the apana vayu. The nervous system is actually being controlled by the vyana vayu. So in this way, every single function of this body is controlled by this air. And a yogi learns to maintain perfect balance of this air. Then he learns how to withdraw his senses from the objects of the senses. Like all these activities are actually due to our unnecessary involvement in the material nature. So a yogi learns how to withdraw his senses from the objects of the senses. Because ultimately the involvement, our involvement in this material nature is just a waste of time. So why should we waste our time? So better withdraw all our senses from the objects of the senses. And that is the stage of pratyahara. And then fixing the mind at the depth of our heart to perceive the Supreme Personality of God. And that's the process of dhyan and dharana. And then finally when one perceives the Lord, that is the stage of samadhi. Now Prabhupada is pointing out here that this yoga practice is exclusively meant for developing our Krishna consciousness. The yoga, the process of this Ashtanga yoga gives one some byproducts. There are some byproducts of this practice. And those byproducts are the perfection of mystic power. Attainment of mystic powers like anima, lokhima, mohima, prakamya, etc. But they are actually, in the previous chapter it has been explained that they are actually the impediments caused by the material nature. They are not the goals of the yoga. So this yoga practice has been misunderstood and misused by less intelligent people. Like practically with every other aspect of spiritual life in this age of life. People nowadays, so many people are trying to meditate. But what do they meditate on? They are meditating on void. They try to meditate on void. They try to meditate on light. But no one is actually trying to meditate upon Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually pointed out that meditation, everyone is meditating. Everyone is actually meditating. But everyone is meditating on matter, material objects. But the ultimate goal of meditation is actually Krishna. Dhyate Vishayan Purusha. Everyone is meditating on the objects of the senses. People are always meditating on money, on different other material objects. They are obsessed with matter. It's a meditation. A businessman is meditating with money. From morning till night. Why? What to speak of morning till night? Actually, 24 hours a day, he dreams of money. He thinks of money. Or a lusty man thinks of a woman. A drunkard thinks of wine. A drink. A drug addict thinks of drug. Where is drug? So in this way, everyone is meditating. Meditation is not a big thing. But upon what one is meditating, that is what. And the goal of our meditation is actually Krishna. So Prabhupada very clearly pointed that out here, that one must meditate upon the Supreme Personality of God. And when one meditates upon Krishna, then he becomes satisfied. Prasanna. A yogi becomes satisfied. Because His mind has reached its ultimate objective. Therefore, a yogi is satisfied. Here, of course, a yogi means the devotee yogi, bhakti yogi, not a mayavadi. Krishna bhakto nishkam atoev shanto. A devotee of Krishna is completely free from any hankering or desire. Therefore, he is perfectly peaceful. But bhukti mukti siddhikami shakoli ashanti. But those who are aspiring for liberation, material enjoyment, and yogic perfection, they are very, very disturbed. Krishna also says, it's also been said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that how a devotee being absorbed in Krishna becomes perfectly satisfied. Evam prasanna manasho bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hridaya granthi chittante sarva samshaya kshiyante chasya karmani drishta eva atmanishya. When one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart and develops a loving relationship with him in course of his reciprocation with the Lord, then he becomes completely satisfied. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. He gets to know the absolute truth in reality. And Mukta Sangasya Jaya. And at that stage, he becomes completely free from all material attachment. A yogi becomes perfectly free, completely free from all material attachment. Actually, our satisfaction is inversely proportionate to our material attachment. More materially attached we are, the more dissatisfied we are. And more detached from matter we are, more satisfied. Whenever there is some dissatisfaction within our heart, we must immediately notice that this is due to our material. A person who is free from material attachment, he cannot have any dissatisfaction. Krishna bhakto nishkam atoev shanti. Satisfaction is proportionate, directly proportionate to our detachment to material attachment. We are actually in a very fortunate position being in Krishna consciousness movement, associating with the devotees. Prabhupada has given us a perfect platform to become perfectly satisfied. Of course, in our day-to-day dealings, in our dealings also, sometimes we feel some dissatisfaction. But those dissatisfactions are only temporary. these are some karmic conflicts. Like, although we have taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, a certain degree of karma is there. And as a result of this karma, sometimes we conflict. We don't want to conflict, but some conflicts take place. But these are all temporary. If we are fixed up at the lotus feet of Krishna, if we are sincere about serving Srila Prabhupada and his mission, then although from time to time there may be some dissatisfaction, but those dissatisfactions will disappear very quickly. And Prabhupada often used to say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So we must remember, whenever there is some dissatisfaction, Krishna is the controller and he has a different plan. Instead of struggling to establish our plan, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani shanti. In this material nature, everything is happening by the divine arrangement of Krishna's prakriti. Material nature, in the material nature, Krishna has set a perfect system. And that system is guna and karma. Krishna arranged there are three modes of material nature and every individual is acting independently. And when one acts independently, his action according to its performance in different modes produces different types of results. And he becomes liable to that. So in this way, everything is happening in this material nature. So even if we do not become fully surrendered to Krishna and recognize that everything is happening according to Krishna's plan, Krishna's arrangement, then at least we can understand that the way things are happening, it is due to guna and karma. In the past, I may have done something and as a result of that, I am getting the reaction to it. I did something in the past and this is the reaction. But I'm very fortunate that since I became a devotee of Krishna, the reaction has become considerably reduced. Therefore, a devotee always thinks positive. When he gets his finger, say, when he gets a little cut in his hand, a devotee doesn't start crying and thinking, oh, I am a devotee, why did my hand get cut? On the other hand, he thinks that actually my whole hand was supposed to get chopped off. But that reaction has been taken care of just by a little cut in my finger. What happens when his hands get chopped off? Then the devotee thinks, actually I was supposed to die. But because I have become a devotee of Krishna, therefore, just I lost one hand. In this way, devotee always thinks positively. And even he is not afraid of dying. When the death comes, devotee thinks, well, now Krishna is calling me. Now is the final test. All my life I was preparing for this moment. So now Krishna, now let me see whether I can fix my mind. That I can remember Krishna. This way, a devotee's attitude is always positive. He never thinks negative. He always considers that things are being controlled by Krishna's divine arrangement, and now that he has become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna is personally making arrangements for him to go back to God. And actually, a devotee becomes more joyful in distress. Because the devotee realizes that when he is in distress, he can remember Krishna better. When everything is going on nicely, when things are joyful, then we tend to forget Krishna. When we are happy and we are in a comfortable situation, then we tend to forget Krishna. But when we are in distress and difficulties, then we remember Krishna more. Or rather, then we can remember Krishna in a much better way. Therefore, a devotee's attitude is that let me have more and more difficulties. After all, this material nature is a very, very unpleasant place to be in. So why should I look for comfort in the material nature? Instead, let me go through difficulties and distresses, discontentment, so that I can remember Krishna better. So in this way, a devotee becomes surrendered to Krishna and he accepts every single opportunity to situate himself in a perfect Krishna conscious manner. Question. That means Prabhupada is reminding us that he has given us something which is higher than Krishna. So we keep quieting. We don't have to artificially practice. We don't have to artificially practice. Already, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have already transcended that. What is better, the inactive remembering of Krishna or active service of Krishna? Which one is better? When we have the opportunity to render active service to Krishna, why should we try to inactively remember Krishna? Still even better than Prabhupada. Because, you know, devotional service has the absorption of one's mind in Krishna, plus the conscience, plus the active service. Literally also you can see that Samadhi is in Shantarash. Samadhi is in Shantarash. But the higher than Shantarash, Adasya, Shakya, Vatsalya. When one is actively rendering service, he is rendering the service in either of these four levels. So, due to our ignorance or less due to our ignorance, we may not be aware of that. That is the fact. Yes, sir. So obviously, it's a higher accomplishment. And it's actually like if we relate to Brihad Bhagavatam, Brihad Bhagavatam is actually describes these as different rewards of material nature. Like, after all, material nature is the controller of everything. In this world. Material nature gives us certain facilities. Giving a remote control switch, like you just press the button and things start happening. And through Takamya and Kama Vashaita, these are actually those powers are rewarded by material. Although physically we may see that the person is just stretching his hand, but nature actually has provided him with the facility to press certain button or do something in the nature, and as a result of that, he can pick up an object according to his desire from any part of his material nature. Prabhupada even said that a yogi can even touch the moon. Sitting on the Earth planet, he can touch the surface of the moon. There are even higher siddhis like Kardama Muni, like could build a whole planet, construct a whole planet, filled with living entities and with all kinds of facilities. So the understanding is the higher we go, on the higher level of consciousness we go to, we get the power to control the nature more. But it's actually, ultimately we have to understand that it's actually coming due to the authorization of the material. And as in Brihad Bhagavatamrita it has also been pointed out, that when the material Maya, when a living entity leaves, you know, reaches the last layer of Maya, then Maya actually provides and offers white force. Therefore, he is giving him the whole control of his material creation. And I don't exactly remember one of the commentaries are actually mentioning that at that stage, the living entity is awarded a position similar to that of Lord Shiva. Shiva, because you see, Maya is the wife of Shiva. And here Maya is actually, and Shiva in that way has the complete control over the material nature. Although he doesn't get involved because he's a demon. He doesn't want to control the material nature, but he has all the ability. So when Maya allows that living entity that kind of facility or, you know, like gift, then, you know, Maya is telling him, offering him a position similar to that of Shiva. Not that a living entity becomes Shiva, but there is an expression, Shivatva Prapti. You know, Shivatva, and which is like getting a position similar to Lord Shiva's position. Which is actually, literally also it means a completely neutral stage. Shiva means a completely peaceful stage. So at that time, he is completely peaceful. He doesn't have any. So this way we can see that more detached we become, the more powerful we'll become, even in material calculation. Is an offense to the body. Therefore, in order to receive the full benefit of chanting the holy name, one must be completely free from all offenses. And offenses are synonymous to material desire, even up to the point of liberation. Even up to the point of liberation. Even liberation is material desire. Not to be entangled in the material nature, desire for freedom from material bondage is actually material. Is the negate the other side of material. Therefore, one must actually be very attentive that one must be very careful that he doesn't have any material desire. Even liberation, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, shakoli, ashanto. Krishna bhakto nishkam, atoev shanto. A pure devotee, a devotee of Krishna is free from all desire, kamana. Krishna bhakta nishkam, therefore he is peaceful. But those who are aspiring for material enjoyment, mukti kami, those who are aspiring for mukti, liberation, and those who are aspiring for siddhi, yogic perfection, they all are full of desire. Therefore one must be free from these things. Even as Prabhupada pointed out here, even desire for liberation has to be given up. And this mood has been very wonderfully displayed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Manasho deho geho jo kichu mor orpilu tuapade nanda visho. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I have surrendered everything unto you, my body, my mind, my home, my possessions, everything is surrendered unto you. Whatever I have is surrendered unto you. Jo kichu mor, orpilu tua pade. I'm surrendering at your lotus feet. নন্দকিশোর। সম্পদে বিপদে জীবনে মরণে তাই মম গ্যালাটুয়া ও পদ বন। Whether I am enjoying or whether I am suffering, whether I am in a good condition or when I am in dangerous condition, I have become completely free from anxiety because I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Dai mamo gala tua o podo bodo. Marobi rakhobi joichha tohara nitto dashok proti tua odhika. Marobi rakhobi, whether you want to keep me or whether you want to kill me, it is up to you. You decide what you want to do with me. If you want to keep me, it's okay. If you want to kill me, that's also okay. Kito janamoho jatha tua dash, bohir mukho brahma janme nahi ash. Let me be born as an insect in the association of your devotees. But I do not desire the birth of Brahma if that birth is averse to you. Bohir mukho brahma janme nahi. Janako janani prabhu doito tanayo prabhu guru pati tuhu sarvam. You are my father, you are my mother, you are my lover, you are my son. You are my Lord and Master, and you are my spiritual master. You are my everything. So this is actually the mood of surrender, which is the basis of devotional service. One must become surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one cannot become a devotee. Devotion actually begins through this surrender. This has been very clearly established by Ramanujacharya in his philosophy. There he expressed this mood of surrender as prapatti. He is saying that the devotion begins from surrender. A person who is not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, he can never become a devotee. Devotional service has 9 angas. Those 9 angas are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Shakma, Dasam, Sakham, Atma, Nivedanam. This 9-fold devotional service, if one practices these processes, of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. But if the surrender is not there, these activities will not produce any result. Just like those activities will be just like planting the seed in a desert. If we plant seeds in a desert, those seeds will never sprout. Similarly, the activities of devotion without surrender will not produce any result. Therefore, the first thing that we must take care of is surrender. The most important consideration is surrender. How much we have become surrendered. And more advanced we are, the more surrendered we will become. More surrendered we will become to the devotees. And as we become surrendered, naturally, the tendencies for hearing and chanting will develop. This inclination to practice these different processes of devotional service will increase. The hearing will become more attracted towards hearing and chanting and remembering. But if the surrender is not there, all these activities are like planting seeds in the middle of a desert,
or beating the husk. Like husk, although looks like paddy, usually the paddy is a beaten to separate the grains from the husk. Now, if someone beats the husk, will there be any grain coming from that? Never. So surrender is the most essential, most important consideration for making advancement in devotion. Brahmacharya put so much emphasis on surrender because he was actually fighting with the Mayavadis. He was the first one to defeat Shankaracharya's theory of Maya. And Mayavad is actually a very arrogant philosophy. What to speak of surrender, they want to compete with the Supreme Personality of God. But in spiritual life, if one wants to make advancement, he must become surrendered. So the Mayavadis had to be reminded that unless and until you are surrendered, you can never make any spiritual advancement. Although you may think that you are making spiritual advancement, although you may think that you are big spiritualist, but actually instead of going towards the spiritual nature, you are going away from the spiritual nature. Instead of developing your pure state of consciousness, you are becoming more and more covered by ignorance. Therefore, the ultimate destiny of a Mayavadi is totally covered, to become totally covered in ignorance. Andham tamo pravishyanti. The demons actually enter into the region of darkness of ignorance. And Mayavadis are actually demons. Asurim bhavam ashrita. The Mayavadis are the asuri, the demons. Although apparently practicing spiritual life, but they are actually demons. And their destiny is total ignorance, losing their consciousness completely, becoming like a stone. And all of that, in spite of their so much endeavor, is simply because they are not surrendered. Whereas a devotee, because he surrendered, although he doesn't make so much of an endeavor, he derives spiritual benefit. Example, there's so many examples. One example is Prahlad Maharaj. A 5-year-old boy did not make any such spiritual endeavor as such. But he was surrendered. And because he was surrendered, Krishna gave him the protection in all respects. And because he was surrendered, transcendental knowledge was revealed in his heart. So much so that he could instruct great pundits, great scholars like Shanda and Amarka, his teachers, sons of Shukracharya. Shukracharya is an exponent of the Vedic scriptures. And Shukracharya's sons are Shanda and Amarka. They were Prahlad's guru, teachers, school teachers. And Prahlad defeated them and told them all that they are doing is just a waste of time. How could he do that, a 5-year-old child? Because Dibya Gyan Hridaye Prakashit. Because the transcendental knowledge was revealed in his heart. In this way, we can see that when one practices devotional service, everything becomes accomplished by him. Everything becomes accomplished by him. Shasti Bhuktir Bhagavat Takinchana Sarvai Gunaistatra Samasate Sura Harava Bhaktashyakuto Mahatguna Manorathe Nashuti Thavato. Jashasti bhakti bhagavat takinchana. One who has developed unflinching devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the divine qualities become manifest in him. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. All divine qualities. Although he may not apparently make any endeavor, but all divine qualities will become manifested in him. But one who is not a devotee, how can he have any good quality? Manorathe nashati dhavato. Because riding in the chariot of his mind, he is constantly going outward. It has been pointed out that when a person thus engages in devotional service and self-realization, for many, many years and births, one should not think that only in this life I'll practice devotional service and next life I must go back to that. No. Although at a neophyte stage one may feel like that, one may think like that, that's also good. Because at least the desire to be free from material bondage is good at a neophyte stage. But at an advanced stage, he just becomes surrendered to Krishna. It's up to you, Krishna, whether you want me to take birth again or whether you want me to go back to the spiritual kind. I personally do not have any desire whatsoever. It's entirely up to you. You decide what I should do. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshashtakam, he's saying, Mamo Janmani Janmanishwari, birth after birth, Bhavadad Bhakti Rahit. He is not saying only in this life, birth after birth. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how we should pray to Krishna. What kind of mood we should develop. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatar bhaktiram. All I want is to become engaged in your devotion. So, for many, many years and births, he becomes completely reluctant to enjoy any one of the material planets, even up to the highest planet, which is known as Brahma Loka. He becomes fully developed in consciousness. When one becomes completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, even the highest form of material enjoyment, na nako prishtham, na parameshtham. Nako prishtham means position of Indra, and parameshtham means the position of Brahma. That is that mood of a devotee. He doesn't want the position of Indra. He doesn't want to have the position of Brahma. But he simply wants to become a servant of the Supreme Personality. He simply rejects all these big, big positions in order to become the humble servant of the Supreme Personality. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Very important, provided surrender is there. Six conditions of surrender. They are not the conditions of surrender. These are the conditions of different aspects of devotion practice. But the sixfold surrender is Dainam, Atma Nivedanam, Bhaktisya Varan, Avasya Rakhive Krishna, Vishash Palan, Bhakti Anubhul Matra Karjya Shikar, Bhakti Pratikul Karjya Varjya. The sixfold surrender, the six ways of surrender are Dainam, developing a very humble attitude. Atma Nivedanam, offering oneself to the spiritual master and Krishna. Bhaktritte Varan, accepting that Krishna is the Lord and Master. Avasya Rakhive Krishna, having a full conviction that Krishna will give you full protection. And Bhakti Anukul Matra Kardya Shikar, accepting whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejecting whatever is unfavorable. So these are the six aspects. And with surrender, one must depend upon his degree of advancement. If he is not so advanced, then better he goes to a doctor and takes treatment. But if he is very advanced, then he will not go to a doctor, will not take any treatment. For example, Prabhupada, when he was playing sick in Vrindavan, three times Prabhupada told me, in three different occasions, he told me, if he becomes unconscious, he should not be taken, they should not take him to the hospital. To see that no one takes him to the hospital. He said, don't let them take me to the hospital even if I become unconscious. He didn't want any doctors to treat him. But we had to force him to get some, to take some treatment. But he was just happy, accepting the condition that he was in. His only desire was that now the time has come for me to leave this planet, so please take me to Vrindavan. He was in Rishikesh, on the foothills of the Himalayas, on the bank of the Ganges, also a dham, also a teerth, about a place of the Lord Rishikesh. But Prabhupada wanted to go to Vrindavan. One night, he expressed this desire. It has come for me to leave the planet. So take me to Vrindavan. Shri Hari. Of course, first consideration is Bhagavat Akinchana. One who has developed unalloyed devotion. But here, they're talking about pure devotion. But